Well, good morning and welcome to Banchory Christian Fellowship Church. Delighted that you've been able to join with us here today in the building, and delighted that those of you watching at home are able to join with us as well. But I am probably most excited to see everyone here who's under the age of 12. So let me say a hello to you. Thanks for coming. And it's especially exciting for me to say, Happy Easter. Christ is risen. And what we're going to do is we're going to read some Bible verses just now which tell us about something that really does last. And you know, one of the hard things about being in church at the moment is we don't get to do things together. We don't get to sing together, which we usually do. So we have to find other ways of doing things together. And this is a Bible reading which we can read together. Because after I say something, we're all going to say something together. Dave's going to put these words up on the screen. The only thing you need to remember to say is, His love endures forever. Unlike an Easter egg, His love endures forever. So let's give that a go. We're going to do some of these verses from Psalm 136. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of Lords. His love endures forever. He remembered us in our low estate. His love endures forever. And freed us from our enemies. His love endures forever. He gives food to every creature. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven. Well, please take a seat and let's take a moment to pray. And prayer really is just speaking to God and asking Him to help us. And so that's what we're going to do. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You that You made everything and that You gave life to everything that has life. All life comes from You. And You know, Lord, that we don't always live our lives in the best way. We make bad choices sometimes, and that puts us far away from You. And we want to say we're sorry, Lord, for all the bad choices that we make. But we thank You that You promise to forgive us when we look for that forgiveness through Jesus Christ. And we thank You that Jesus is the one who died on the cross to take away all our sins, and that we can be sure about that because He is risen from the dead. You have taught us in the Bible that You give new life as people hear and believe Your word. And so we ask for Your help today, Lord, that we would hear Your word clearly and that we too would meet the risen Lord Jesus. And we ask it in His name. Amen. We're going to turn to our Bible reading, which you'll find in Matthew's Gospel, the very last chapter, chapter 28. We've been reading over from the start of Holy Week right through to today, reading Matthew's account of the last day or days of Jesus Christ's life. And we saw on Friday the horrible scene of crucifixion. And today Hannah's going to come and read for us the first 15 verses of chapter 28, which show us the brightest morning of resurrection.
Morning. So today's reading's from Matthew 28, verses 1 to 15. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen. Just as he said, come and see the place where he lay, then go quickly and tell the disciples. He is risen from the dead and is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, now I have told you." So the woman hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You were to say, 'His disciples came to me during the night and stole him away while we were asleep.' If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day.
Thank you very much. So I want to start by asking a question. And the question is, how do I know it's true? Now, this is a question that people are asking every day of every week about every possible thing you can imagine. How do I know it's true? So let me offer you a few statements, and you can help me work out how we would find out if they were true. Here's the first one. Ronaldo has signed for Aberdeen. Now, I know next to nothing about football, but Cristiano Ronaldo is perhaps the most high-profile soccer star of this era. And the story is that he signed for Aberdeen. You know, like they're getting a new manager already. You know, Scott Brown's coming in. And now, the biggest signing of all, Ronaldo. How would we work out if that was true? Anyone got any suggestions? How would we work out if it's true? How do I know it's true? But you don't just believe it because some preacher says it. That's a rule to start with. How about this then? You would ask some questions. Okay, well, has he been seen in Aberdeen? That would be a good start, wouldn't it? If he's been seen in Aberdeen, that could be a reason. Is his house in Italy up for sale? That would be another one. What's that? You could phone the football club and ask them. Yeah. There's ways we could find out if it's true. And anyway, I've done a little bit of investigating. He has not been seen in Aberdeen. I don't think his house in Italy is up for sale. And the football club have had nothing to say about Ronaldo. So probably it's not true. The evidence just does not stack up. Okay, here's another question. Vegetables are good for you. Assuming you eat them, okay? That's what I'll add to that. Vegetables are good for you if you eat them. How would we work out if this was true? It's all very well to say it, and gosh, we hear mums and dads say it all the time, don't we? But how do we know it's true? What do you think? Because your mum's a doctor. Does she play that card a lot at home, does she? It's like, listen to me, I'm a doctor. Nope, just in the same way that you don't believe it just because a preacher says it, don't believe it just because a doctor says it. Vegetables are good for you. How would we figure out if this was true? We could ask a doctor. That is a good idea. Anything else? Look it up on the internet. Nah. Well, here's what we would do, right? So some very smart people have smashed up these vegetables and done all sorts of tests to find out what's in them. And would you believe it, when you go in there, you find that there are nutrients, there are vitamins, there are antioxidants, and these are the very things that the human body needs to be healthy. And so you do the comparison. What does a human body need to be healthy? Do vegetables have those things? Well, they've got some of them. And so, yes, vegetables are good for you. Sorry, guys. It's fact. Okay, here's another question to think about. Here's another one. Jesus Christ died for our sins, was buried, and was raised on the third day. We don't often think we get to ask this question, but how do I know it's true? It's all very well for someone to say it. What do you think? Because it's in the Bible? Nice. I thought you were going to say because your dad's a geologist or something. But Yeah, because it's in the Bible is a good start. What do you think? Well, today we celebrate this very thing, that Jesus Christ died for our sins, was buried, and was raised on the third day. And as has rightly been said, God has given us the Bible. You know, those words that Hannah read for us were written down almost 2,000 years ago, and written by someone who was alive at the time when these things took place. What you have when you pick up the Bible is an ancient record of what the eyewitnesses had to say about what happened to Jesus. This isn't something that someone wrote down 1,000 years later and said, well, this might have happened. This was written within maybe 30 years of Jesus dying. Matthew wrote down these words based on what the eyewitnesses, and based even on what he had seen and heard at the time. They saw Jesus nailed to a cross. They saw Jesus die on the cross. They saw him buried in a tomb. They saw a large stone put in front of it. And they saw on the third day that when the tomb was opened, it was empty. They saw Jesus. And this is why it's so important for us to read our Bibles, because actually, these are ancient historical documents. They wanted to record what had happened so that us, all these years later, would be able to read it and know about it. Here in the Bible, God teaches us more about Jesus and helps us to see all the evidence for believing that he really did die for our sins, was buried, and raised the third day. Now, doctors will tell you that when someone dies, they don't come back to life. That's kind of how death works. And so when the Bible says that Jesus rose on the third day, it's saying something surprising, isn't it? It's pretty clear. The Bible's pretty clear in the message that Jesus died, and it's pretty clear that he was buried, and it's pretty clear that he rose again. But dead people don't rise again. But I want to say to you that actually, the surprising news that the angel delivered to these two women at the tomb was also unsurprising news. This is what the angel said to them. Do not be afraid. I know that you're looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He's not here, for he has risen, just as he said. He has risen just as he said. The message of the angel is that Jesus already told you this was going to happen. And if you go back and read through the ministry of Jesus, he starts to teach his disciples that yes, he is going to be rejected, he's going to be killed, but on the third day, he's going to rise again. Jesus had already told us this is what would happen. And in fact, even if you go back into the oldest part of the Bible, in the Old Testament, there God tells us this is what will happen. And so that's why we can be sure from a number of different angles, the eyewitnesses, but also the prediction of the Bible itself and Jesus himself. I've got one more question to think about, and that is, what do we do then if we discover that Jesus has risen? If we discover that Jesus has really risen from the dead, what do we do? Well, I want to point out what these women did in the verses Hannah read for us. Verse 9, it says, Jesus met them and said, greetings, which is really just a way of saying hello. And they came up and took hold of his feet, and they worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee where they will see me. What did they do? They grabbed his feet and they worshipped him. Now, you can only grab someone's feet, really, by getting down in the dirt. That's where your feet are. They got down on the ground and they grabbed his feet. And what they're doing there is they're saying, we're not worthy. Lord, you are so much higher than we are. They're brought down onto their faces and they worship him. So what does it mean to worship Jesus? If you discover that Jesus has risen from the dead, you've got to follow these ladies' example and worship him. And what does it mean to worship Jesus? It means to make him the most precious thing that you have. To love nothing more than to love Jesus. To want nothing more than to know more of Jesus. He is the most important thing in your life. Now, what lots of people do is they make Jesus a bit of their life. Kind of like a little box that they keep maybe beside their bed. And sometimes they take that out and they get interested in Jesus, but then they box him back up and put him down and leave him there. But that's not what it means to worship Jesus. It means that Jesus is number one in every part of life, not just a little part. And that's what's symbolized here. These women, they grab his feet. Jesus is above them, and they want to do everything that he says. They worship him, and they do as he says. Go and tell my brothers. And I hope that today, as you think about Jesus being risen from the dead, that you too will worship him. Now, I got a little bit more I want to say to everyone who's over 12. So if you're under 12, I've got something for you to do. Hopefully you'll find a piece of paper somewhere near your seat and some crayons. If you don't have any, I'm sure Elizabeth will be able to hand out some extras, but I think we have some around. Here's the challenge. I think we've probably got maybe 6 minutes. And the challenge is to draw a picture of the tomb as it was described in the verses Hannah read for us. And you get a bonus point for every detail of the story that's there. So it doesn't have to be just brilliant, but it needs to have the details. It's a test of how well you were listening. Ready? Set? Go. What do you do if Jesus has been raised? You worship him. And like these women, what you do is you tell those who haven't yet heard. I mean, that's what the angel says to these women. He says, go and tell his disciples. They haven't yet heard that Jesus has been raised from the dead. And so that's what these women have to set about doing. And what launches here in Matthew 28 is a pattern. The women tell others who tell others who tell others who tell others. And this kept going on and on and on until, you know what, one day somebody told me. And I have the privilege of standing here and telling you. This is the pattern. If we have discovered that Jesus has been raised from the dead, then we must tell those who have not yet heard. I was thinking about the community that I live in, which is just around the corner here. And I have never been in a community before that decorates its front door with eggs or hangs eggs on its tree. I have never lived in a community like that before. And I've lived in Peterhead. But I have been wondering, behind those egg-decorated doors, how much do people really understand about Jesus? Why is it a significant thing to mark for them? Is it just because family comes together? Or is it because they have some understanding that Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead? I find that often people will give a polite nod to this kind of story, that Jesus rose from the dead. That it's almost as if it's a little legend that people share at this time of year, but that's not quite good enough, is it? People need to come face to face with the risen Jesus. In the last couple of weeks, I was encouraging the church to think of a few people, 2-3 people, who they could pray for every day to have some opportunity to share something of their faith with them. And I don't know how you've been getting on with that, but Easter weekend runs into Monday, and who knows, maybe this is an opportunity for you to speak to those friends you've been praying for. Maybe they decorate their doors with eggs, I don't know. Maybe that would be an opportunity to say something about why Easter is such an important and encouraging and hopeful time for you. But of course, this remains our mission. It's not just the church's mission in March and April, but all the time. We will be faced with skepticism, and that's nothing new. And that's what we find in our Bible reading, isn't it? That actually the first conspiracy theory is spun in order to try and do away with the resurrection of Jesus. Rather than accept the truth and be shown to be wrong, these religious leaders, they spread this false story about what happened to Jesus' body. The guards who have had this great dereliction of duty. They should have been standing guard, but the angel came down and struck them down like dead men. And they go and they explain to the religious leaders, this is what's happened. And the religious leaders say, well, rather than admit that we're wrong, we'll pay you off. And what you've got to do is you've got to say, the disciples came in the night and stole the body. And it's interesting that Matthew says, this story has been spread among the Jews to this day. This story is still doing the rounds 2,000 years later. That this is some people's explanation of, well, why the tomb was empty. But I want to say that it does not explain the empty tomb, and it could not explain the empty tomb. If you're gonna convince everyone of a lie, one of the golden rules is to keep the number of people who know it to be a lie to an absolute minimum. I suggest 3. I think that probably works. Here you've got at least 11. At least 11 men who know that Jesus hasn't been raised from the dead. They know that he's not really the Savior. And yet each of these 11 men, probably every one of them, died a martyr's death because they proclaimed that Jesus had been risen from the dead. Now, how is it even conceivable that each of those 11 men would not change their story at all, even if faced with death, for something they knew to be a lie? It just does not stack up. Speaking personally, when I reached a stage of questioning and wondering if the Christian faith was the real deal, it was this issue more than anything that was crucial to me. Did Jesus really rise from the dead? Because I might have had all sorts of questions about creation or about dinosaurs or about morality. But if we can get this question settled, all of those other ones are relatively straightforward. Did Jesus really rise from the dead? Because if the answer is no, then we can just shut the doors. Because Christianity is then proven to be hollow, worthless, hopeless. But if the answer is yes, he did rise from the dead, then we have a starting point where we see that something remarkable is going on here with this man, Jesus. We need to hear what he says. We need to understand what he calls us to do, because if he has been raised from the dead, then surely he is who he claims to be, because his resurrection from the dead was just as he said. And it shows us that Jesus is not just some interesting person from history. So I want to encourage you today, whoever you are, whatever stage of life you're at, whether you have faith or not, to read the gospel accounts and to even read the accounts of others who've looked into this very issue. There are a number of people who were converted from atheism to faith because they investigated the resurrection of Jesus, because that's at the heart of it all. If he was raised, then we've got something we need to sit up and pay attention to. If not, then forget about it. If he did rise from the dead, and I believe with all my heart that he did, then in Jesus we encounter God, who came to rescue us. And we must respond like these women in worship. And to worship Jesus is to treasure him above everything else. Okay, how has the artwork been going, all you under 12s? We've only really got 1 minute to analyze this. Can you hold up your best efforts? Okay, looking good. Has anyone got any particularly interesting details they want to mention to us that they've included? Yes? The what? The angel? Okay. Callum? What was that? The stone? Yeah. Nice. Thank you. Good. Anyone else? Any other interesting details? Sounds like you've done a pretty good job of that. I thought someone would be creative, you know, so it's springtime. Maybe you could put in a daffodil. Maybe there could have been a lamb in the background. You know, you've got to think outside the box a little bit. Anyway, thank you for that. Thanks for your attention. Thanks for your patience. And let me close with these words of benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you and give you peace. Amen. And amen.